All right, so this morning we're going to take communion. This is our communion Sunday. We're going to do it at the end of service, though. I kind of switch gears on them and change things up. I do that from time to time, if y'all don't know. But we're going to get into the Word this morning. And this week I had a couple of people ask me, hey, what's going on with the chairs? Are we going to have chairs by the time we get back into service? And I said, man, it all depends. It depends on what we get. If the funds come in between now and then, we're definitely going to do it. We're about a little over $800 shy of being able to put all of the chairs in our sanctuary and to do that. So you're still able to give to that. You can do that at lakevictory.com/give, as Christopher was saying earlier. Or you can just direct message me or email me if you want to talk to me about it or what's going on. We'll get you some information and we'll make things happen. I've had several people say, man, I don't want to send a check in the mail. I don't want to go online. I'm not that person. Can you meet up with me? And I've met with them and put their tithes and offerings in that way. So there are definitely ways to give and to be faithful. But no matter where you're at, man, no matter whether you're at home or whether you're here or in another state or we've had a lot of people from other states and other countries, even from Russia, listening in and being a part of our service. And this is what I want you to remember in all of this, not just at Victory Church, but in all the churches and all the ministries that you give to. Be faithful in this time. As Christopher was saying, this is a time that we're tested. This is the time when we're in the valley. This is the time where we say, hey, God, I am going to trust you. I don't see the end. I don't see the outcome. I don't know how that's going to work if I do these things. And God says, let me prove it to you. Amen? Let me prove it to you. Just remember, no matter where you give, be faithful. Be faithful in your giving, in your tithes and your offerings unto God. And with that, again, chairs, you can get a hold of me or hello at lakevictory.com. So I don't know if you saw this, Aaron, but last night, I was like, man, I have not seen a single email come in. So I tested it. I went in and was like, hey, this is a test. I haven't seen an email. Does it work? Click. And it sent right to me. So I know it works. It's available. It's doing what it's supposed to do. But you know what? We can't go through prayers with you. We can't do those things with you, or can't answer questions or help in any way if you don't ask, right? Scripture says you have not because you... You have not because you ask not. I was letting y'all fill in the blank. We have not because we ask not. So be sure and use those resources, man. Get in touch with people. Again, text. You can text us. You can email us. You can direct message us on Facebook. Just however you want to connect with us. But let us hear from you. Let us hear from you. And I encourage you to reach out to others. Because how many of you know everybody feels alone right now being by yourself? If you're in a home, if you have to stay at home and you don't get to go out. I know my kids, you know, we're going a couple of places that we frequent all the time. But as far as the rest of it, man, they're missing people being a part of their lives. You know what? How many people are sitting at home by themselves in isolation, they feel, and don't get to reach out and aren't getting contact connection with people. We need to be using the resources God has given us to speak into people's lives and to be a part of people's lives. Amen? All right. So with that, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to start a new series this morning, and it's called The Time Is Now. But before we do that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today, for your love, grace, and mercy towards us, that we can be called the sons and daughters of you. We thank you for that. We ask that you would allow us to live a life that's worthy of it. And as I speak today and encourage change to come in our lives, Father God, I ask that you would help us see you in a way we've never seen you before. That you would allow us to be strengthened and encouraged, Father God. And in this difficult time, whether it's a good time or a bad time, whether we feel happy about the things that are going on or sad about the things that are going on, your word says that we can have joy throughout all of it, Father God, just because of you, because we're your children, because you take care of us. We thank you for that. Help me now as I deliver this word, I believe, that you've laid on my heart and given to us today. I ask that you'd help me with it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So I was going to read, I snuck two scripture verses in on Aaron that I didn't send to him, but he used one of them this morning when he was talking. So in my notes, I have 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. It says, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, it's there's been a lot of people that say God is the one that has sent this upon people. And other people say, no, God's a loving God and he doesn't do that. Well, Scripture says in the Old Testament he did. But how many of you know we live under a different dispensation than the Old Testament, right? It's still the same word. It's still the same thing. But we live under what? The dispensation of grace right now. So whether you believe that God sent this, whether you don't believe that God sent this, there's one thing that's true. And that's verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their lands. How many of you know we need some sins forgiven? How many of you know we need our lands to be healed? Protection to come on our families and on our friends and on our countries. And not just America, but the world needs God right now more than ever. And it says that if we turn to him and we look to him, that one, first of all, in a different scripture says, if we look for him, we'll find him, right? If we ask him for things, he will answer us. If we ask, we receive. If we knock on doors, they'll be opened to us. We don't have to kick doors in. If it's a door God wants for us to have, he will open it for us. Amen? So I want us to understand this morning, as we get into this It's Time to Change series, the time is now is what we're calling it, but today is that it's time to change. There's a scripture that kind of sums up what I'm going to talk about today. And you say, man, you've been going over some of these principles, these same principles a lot lately. And I'm reminded of the preacher, it was his first time they had brought him in. I've told you guys this at church here before, but some of you guys are newer. He came in and they elected him as pastor, and he came in and he preached his first Sunday morning service, and he preached it, and man, it was great. It was about repentance. It was about change. It was everything that they had been looking for, man. They were excited about it, and then they came back for Sunday night. This was back when they had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. How many of you missed that? Oh, I do. Anyway, they had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night service. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, so he came back Sunday night, and he preached the same exact message. Again, word for word, all the way through. And they said, what? Well, he's kind of new at this, so we'll give him a pass on this one. Just don't say anything. We'll just go through it. They all got together and decided it. And so then Wednesday night, they came back, and he preached the same exact message, word for word. And then they brought him together and they said, listen, man, you've preached this same message over and over. This is three times now. You know, we brought you in to kind of lead us in God's word and to help us in the direction that we need to go. So why are you preaching the same exact message? He says, I'm preaching this one until you get it. And once you guys got it, we'll move on to step two. How many of you know we need some foundation in our lives? As Christopher was saying, if your foundation is totally shaken right now, maybe you're set up on the wrong foundation. And so again, this is going to be some generic principles, and you're going to be like, why are we going over this again and again and again? I say, because we need it, especially now. We need it especially now. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says this. It says, put off your old self. Everybody say your old self. Which belongs to the former manner of life that is corrupt through deceitful desires. How many of you know our lives, we're born into sin according to Scripture. We're born into having issues and problems. We're born into that, and it's a part of our lives. You don't have to tell a two-year-old to lie. You don't have to tell a two-year-old to steal. You don't have to tell a two-year-old not to whack somebody on the head or to whack somebody on the head. They do it instinctively, right? We have to train ourselves not to. And this is what the next scripture says, 23. It says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So this scripture is telling us that we need to do some things. First thing, we need to put off some old stuff, right? We need to get rid of some old things, and we need to put on some new things. We need to put on some new things. Sometimes, man, we know exactly what we're supposed to do. How many of you know what the Word of God says? You know what it says about joy. You know what it says about faith. You know what it says about healing. You know what it says about all these things. But when the time comes to have joy and the time comes to have faith and the time comes for healing, how many of you know we struggle a little bit on what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it, right? We do that constantly. And we know what we should do, but sometimes it takes a little nudge to do it, right? So I remember as a kid, this is a squirrel, but I think it works. So y'all get with me. Y'all stay with me. When I was a kid, I used to try and skateboard, right? I used to love skateboarding. I had a buddy named Chad Williams. He lives in Louisiana now. He's one of my best friends. And we used to go to this place. Like, it was, We probably weren't supposed to go there, but it was a little ways from our house, but we would go there, and it was a guy named Brian Holmes' house, and I don't even know him, but he had a big half-pipe ramp, right? He had a huge, it was like 10 foot with a 12-foot tombstone and a drop-in. Some of you guys know what it is. Some of you don't. It's okay. We'll move on. But what happens was is we would stand at the top of that thing with our skateboards, and we would put them on there, and we would stand 10 foot up, and we would stand there. We would stand there, and we would stand there. But we wouldn't drop in. Why? Because fear gripped us, right? So I'm going to skip forward about 30-something years. My daughters started skateboarding, right? And so for Christmas, we got them helmets and elbow pads and knee pads and wrist guards. And we go to the little skate park in Umatilla. If you haven't been there, it's a great one. But don't go there all at once because it's small, and then we won't be able to be there. But go there, and you'll see kids having an amazing time and doing things that you never dreamed 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds would do on scooters, on bikes, on skateboards. There's one in Eustis, too. That's bigger. Go there. But there's a lot of places that I take my kids to try and do that. We go with Sydney and Shelby and Tyson, and we all go out there, and they put on their gear, and they get ready, and they start going. My daughter will get up on, my oldest Sydney will get up on the thing to drop in. So it's kind of scary, even 3 foot, when you're only 4 foot tall, four and a half foot tall. You know, 3 foot's a big drop, you know? So she'll get up there and she'll stand up there, and I'll like, come on, go, come on, go, come on, go, come on, go. And April's like, stop, leave her alone. She's getting scared. Don't do it. I'm like, no. And I keep pushing and I keep pushing and I keep pushing. And I did that. And finally what happened? She did it, right? And once she did it that one time, that was all it took, right? That was all it took. Now she'll get on that 3 foot drop. She'll get on there and she'll just pop down on it and take off, right? Why does she do that? Because fear was stopping her from moving on and doing what she should do, right? And sometimes we need somebody that's going to stand behind us and cheer and say, go, you can do this. You can move. You need to change. You need to start this. This is where you need to go. This is your direction that you need to have in your life. And this morning, man, I'm hoping that that's what this series is going to do for you. I'm hoping that it's going to push you, that's going to encourage you to just step out and change some things in your life. Because some of you know change is difficult. We're all in, listen, right now we're in so much change in our lives. What's wrong with throwing a couple more things in, right? Like these are totally different. Why don't we try something else? Why don't we try something new? You know what? We never would have done video and put it on Facebook. And I've had people in the past, man, some of my coaches, some of the other people, like, why don't you put your service on Facebook? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I was like, nah, we're not ready to do this. We're not ready to do this. We're not ready to do this. But you know what? God said, here, you're ready to do it or not. Like, he threw us in the swimming pool, right? Either sink or swim, you're good. How many of your parents did that when they was kids? Mine didn't. I don't remember if mine. Maybe they did. Maybe that's what happened to me. I'm not sure. But God is like, hey, here's an avenue, use it. Here's something that I've given to you that you're not taking advantage of. Why? Because either we don't know or we're scared to do it or it takes a whole lot of work. Because how many of you know, doing nothing is really a lot easier than moving, right? Yeah, doing nothing is a lot easier than moving, right? It is. I forget that there's nobody here to say yes back to me. There's only a couple of anyway, we know that there needs to be a change. We know that there's a time in our lives that we have to step out. And what better time than right now? Amen? What better time than right now? If you're sitting by somebody, look at them and say, right now, it's your turn to change. It's your time to change. It's your time to change. I'm telling me, it's my time to change. We all want change, but we know that it's difficult. Jesus told us that. He told people that wanted to follow him that there were 12 disciples, but you know, according to the book of Acts, there were a lot of people that followed him from the very beginning, but they weren't a part of the chosen 12, right? There were a lot of disciples, a lot of people that followed and wanted to be a part of what was going on, but there was only 12 that were brought in. There were only 12 that we call disciples. The reason why we know that is because when Judas was gone, right, the apostles got together, the disciples got together, and they said, we need to choose another to take his place, and they brought one in, and this was one of the qualifications, is he had to be with us from the beginning, right, to be a disciple. And so we know that there were people that followed the entire ministry but never came in. And one of the reasons why we see that, why we know that, is because Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. I'm going to read some of it. It says, "And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" And you say, what does that have to do with anything? Why did I ask you to come with you and you start talking about animals, right? The process of what he's saying right there is the way that I'm going is not an easy road. It's not a comfortable road. It's a difficult path that you're going to take. Make sure that it's one that you're ready to take. Make sure that you're willing to do what you're asking. Again, we talked a little while back about be careful what you ask for in our Dangerous Prayer series, right? Careful what you ask for, you might just get it. There's a lot of things we ask for that we don't really understand what we're asking for until it's here, and then we're like, man, that's not what I meant by that, right? I thought it was totally different than that. We do that all the time in our lives, and it's easy for us. It would be easy for us to follow if we didn't have to do anything. It would be easy for us to live a life that God called us to if it was easy. But how many of you know, time and time and time again in the scripture, it shows us and it tells us that it's not going to be easy. That we have to make a decision that we're going to follow no matter what kind of opposition we stumble into. No matter what things come our way, the bad things that are there, the things that we don't want to be a part of our lives, or that we want to be a part of our lives, that we may have to give up the comforts. How many of you miss all the comforts that you normally have, right? There's a lot of comforts that are gone now. There's a lot of comforts that are still there, but you know what? I'm gonna be honest. A lot of us are dwelling on what we don't have instead of what we do have right now. A lot of us are dwelling on the point, well, I can't go anywhere. I can't go. I need to go somewhere. I need to do this. Take this time to invest into the people that you are with. Take this time to get in God's word with your children, with the people that you're around. Do some Bible studies on your own, at home, with yourself. You have an availability now to do things you never could do before. Why? Because you have to, right? You have to. Well, I don't get to go to church, but I do get to celebrate online. I do get to invite people that never would come to church. I can tag them on Facebook and be like, hey, check this out, check this out, check this out. Now, whether they watch it, that's up to them. But I've given them an opportunity, right? We have ways to share things right now that we never would have thought of before because of the difficult situation that we're in. We need to understand, Jesus said, we're going to be in some difficult situations, but it's time for us to stand up and to walk and to do things maybe a little bit different than we've ever done them before. Verse 59 says this, "To another he said, 'Follow me.'" So one asked to come, and then Jesus asked another one to come, right? He said, hey, come follow me. And he said, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you. I will follow you. But first let me say farewell to those at home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." No one who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. When we step out in him, we need to do something. We need to put off the old. We need to let go of those things that we've clung on to forever, right? There's things that we need to let go. When Abram stepped out, when he sent Abram out, what did he say? He said, go, leave your father, your mother, leave your family, leave everything that you know, the comfort that you have, and step out and go to a place. And when you get there, I'm going to say, you are here. You have now arrived, like a GPS, right? Go, no directions, no signal. When you get there, be like, yep, this is where you're supposed to be. How many of you know that would be difficult? That would be hard. But you know what? He did it, and because he did it, God blessed him, right? Because he stepped out and did it, God blessed him. He left everything behind. Today, I'm going to tell you the time is now to leave some stuff behind. Today is the day. You've held on to it. You've clung on to it. You've kept it. And today's the day that you need to just let it go. You need to just open your hands and say, God, I give this to you. Take it from me now. The first thing that we need to move on from is move on from old history. Our old history. We need to leave the divorce that we had behind us. We need to leave the bad finances. We need that event, that situation, that circumstance that we hold on to, that we're allowing to define who we are. We need to let that thing go. We need to leave it in the past. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's that thing that you keep and you hold on to. Holding on to that thing is like driving, like I've told you before, driving in your car and looking in the whole rearview mirror the entire time. Holding on to that thing. It's going to cause a train wreck in your life. Amen? If you're not paying attention to where you're going, you're going to miss where you're supposed to be at. I promise you, you have to let old history go. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Let those old things go. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." But you got to let it go. You got to leave it behind you. We need to move on from our old history. The next thing that we need to do is we need to move on from our old habits. God wants us to let those things go. Again, he wants us to give it to him. How many of you know bad habits? I've heard this quote, bad habits are like a comfortable bed. They're very easy to get into, but hard to get out of, right? It's so easy to fall into a bad habit. It's so easy to fall into things because it's easy, because it's simple, because it's what everybody else is doing, because we've always done it that way. How many of you know just because you've always done it that way doesn't mean it's the right way to do it, right? I'm not saying this is a bad habit. I'm just saying it's an old habit, right? It's a thing that we have done in the past. We'll probably do it again in the future. But you know what? Easter Sunday isn't about putting on a nice suit and getting new clothes and coming all pretty and all spiffed up and putting eggs out in the yard for kids to run around and find and hide. You know what? Easter Bunny don't have nothing to do with Jesus being resurrected. Nothing at all. Nothing, right? Now, Do I let my kids run around and get candy out of eggs on the ground? I do. I said, like, bring it home because daddy wants to eat it, right? We do that, right? We do that. But has nothing to do with the fact that Jesus Christ is risen every day of our lives. That's just a day that we've chosen to celebrate that. You know what? If you look at historians, that's not even a real day, right? It's not. It's not. You can look that up or you can argue that point. Whatever. Doesn't matter. That's the day we choose to celebrate it. So you know what? Celebrate it in the best way that you can, in a different way than normal. You know, God does things at different times. When we're out of our comfort zone, that's when we see God move the most. Promise you. When we're out of our comfort zone, that's when we see God move the most. We need to put those habits down. We need to put those things and say, it's not about that. It's about what Christ has done and what my heart looks like now, what he's done inside of me. The focus that I have, bad eating habits, unhealthy computer or phone habits, habits with our finances, habits with speaking to people, habits with not speaking to people. Some of y'all are so happy, like, I don't have to deal with people right now. This is amazing. It's like heaven on earth, right? But you know what? That's not what we're called to do. We're called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ any way that we can. We need to understand that anything that hurts our relationship or our effectiveness for God could be a bad habit, right? We were having a Bible study at my house the other night, and we were sitting around and we were talking about it, we were in Romans 2, and we were going through things, and one of the things that I said is we need to stop the mentality of, is it okay for me to do this as a Christian, and start the mentality of, does it help me share Christ with others? And if it doesn't help me share Christ with others, then maybe I need to let it go. Maybe I need to stop. Maybe I need to put it in a different order. It may not be a heaven and hell issue, but it might be can I be effective in people's lives having that be a part of my life? If it hurts my effectiveness to listen, to witness to a person or to lead that person to Christ, the question really should be, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Again, we need to put off the old self. Ephesians 4. Put off the old self. 4:22. Let go of it. let go of it. Those things that hold us back. Those things that slow us down. We need to throw it off. So we have a responsibility to put some things off. Maybe we need to take some of the bad habits that we have, some of the things that we don't do, and replace them with the good habits. Maybe instead of wasting time in one area doing a certain thing, I'm not going to put a name on it because somebody's going to be like, whew, he didn't get mine. Maybe we don't do that certain thing that we do, that we have in our life that controls us, that takes away our time and our energy and our effectiveness. Maybe instead of trying to work towards that, maybe we need to start getting in God's word more when we would normally do that. Right? Maybe we need to trade our bad habit for putting on some worship music and just getting in God's presence instead of the thing that we've been doing. Maybe instead of picking up the phone and gossiping about somebody, we need to put on some worship music and set the phone down and just spend some time in His presence. Maybe we need to take that time instead of calling, I'm trying to think of a name, Ethel, so that we can complain about somebody, right? Instead of calling her and saying, hey, this is what happened. Maybe we need to stop and say, God, help me go through this situation, right? And I ask that you would touch her in whatever struggle she's having, right? Pray for them, but pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Because how many of you know most of the issues we have are because of ourselves? The perception of what we see. My wife told me this morning. I asked her a question. I said, man, I think this is what's happening. I think that's what's happening. And she said, no, maybe it's just this. I was like, you know what? That's a good thought. She said, maybe you need to pray that God would change that outlook in your life, that when something happens, when somebody says something, when they don't act exactly the way that you think that they should, that it's nothing to do and has nothing to do with you. And that thing that John keeps saying about helping somebody in the middle of an issue keeps coming into my head. Man, why are you so arrogant to think everything revolves around you? Right? Why? That's not what he said. That's what I got out of it. He said, why are you arrogant enough to think that anything you could say in a situation would change the situation? But the principle still rings true. Amen? Why does it always have to be, everything doesn't have to be about me? Maybe the way that person treats you or the way that person says something to you has nothing to do with you and has to do with something that they're dealing with and battling with, and you need to be praying for them. Not because you know what's happening, but just because. Just because they need it. We all need prayer. We all need people that are going to be there. Amen? The next thing we need to let go of is this. Old hurts. The wounds and the hurts that define you or change your life. Some people spoke things into your life when you were younger. Some people treated you a certain way. Some relationship that you had was a bad relationship. And because of that, right now, that's the only thing you think of yourself as. And it's not true. And it's not right. And it needs to change. We need to let that hurt go. We need to move on. How many of you know, once an egg's scrambled, you can't unscramble it. Right? It's already happened. That thing is done. There's nothing that I can do to fix that situation. But what I can do is move on and make sure that from now on, that situation doesn't define me. And I don't put myself in that situation to have it done again. Right? What do? You move on. We need to forgive. Forgiveness is difficult. But how many of you know forgiveness is a one-player game? How many of you know there's some games that you play, got two-player, got multiplayer, got a whole bunch of people, and then there's some games that you can only play by yourself. Everybody's like, I want to play. You're like, not till I'm done. Right? And you play, and you play, and you play. Same thing with forgiveness. Forgiveness only has to do with you and God. Right? Giving it to God. That's what forgiveness has. That's what it's all about. So we need to forgive and move on. You say, well, I can't forget about it. Well, you know what? Don't. Yep. Hold on to it if you want to with the tagline, I can't forget about it. You know what? Maybe you can't forget about it, but maybe you can use that to help a ministry that you're going to form in your life. Maybe you can't forget about it, but you can use that to fuel what you're doing. Not live in the hurt or the agony or the pain of that situation and have your life continue on in that. There's people that are struggling with depression. Why? Because they've taken it on and it's them and that's who they are and they're going to hold on to it. We need to let those things go and hold on to God, man. We need to let those things go and give it to God and allow Him to take those things, those hurts that are there. We need to allow God to change our hearts and our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Notice it doesn't say a few of the old things have passed away. It doesn't say some of the old stuff is gone. Keep that suitcase and drag it with you, right? Keep this baggage with you because it's who you are, so you need to have it. He said, I've created you to be something special. Let those old things go. The old history, the old habits, the old hurts, man. The old has gone according to the scripture when we become a new creation in him. Behold, the new has come is what that scripture says. The old has passed away. The new has come. And how does it come? How can I let those things go? How can I change those habits? How can I be something totally different? And the scripture, the next scripture, verse 18 says, and all this is from God, through who Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? It means bringing the issues and the problems that I had and doing away with those and bringing relationship again, right? Reconciling is most of us know reconciling when we look at our bank statements, right? We bring it back to zero, our zero balance, right? When we reconcile that, what are we doing? When God reconciles us, he's taking the sin that we have and saying, man, you don't owe nothing no more. I've taken it. Now, how many of you know, like a lot of the bills that come in the door, we ain't got the money to pay them. You know why we ain't got the money to pay him? Because we're not being good stewards with what he's given us. That's for your toes, right? that's for your toes, right there. We need to be good stewards. We need to understand that we have a debt that we can't pay. We have issues that could only be taken care of by what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, by what we celebrate this time of year, every year. It's time to change now. How many of you know he paid for it? Jesus Christ paid for it on the cross. Everything. Everything that you have need of. Scripture says it is taken care of. Jesus said it's almost done. Only if you do these things. Right? No. He said it is what? Finished. It's done. I've taken care of it. God standing behind us saying, drop in, go, do it. You can do it. You've got this. I've given you everything you need. You have all the tools, all the things, everything that you have need of, you have it. Go. Let that fear go, man. Let that hurt go. Let those issues go. It's time for us to move on. It's time for us to make a change. Matthew 4, 17 says this, from that time Jesus began preaching saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, the problem is we look at things that are very good for us, bad, right? We look at stuff that's there designed to help us, designed to make us the best that we can be, designed to be a beautiful thing in our lives. And we look at it as it's a bad thing. Let me explain what I say. When I say repent, most of us get frustrated like, oh no, I got to do something different. Or we use it as a tool. You need to repent. You need to repent. But repentance is one of the most beautiful things that God ever gave to us. He gave us the ability to change. The ability to put down the old thing, to be able to put down the things that we are holding on to, that we're clinging on to put them down and to walk towards him. To be able to have a relationship with him. Instead of running away from God because we have issues, we need to run to God in repentance and allow him to take those things away, that fear, that issue, that problem away. We need to not be afraid of him. Because this is the one thing that this scripture tells us. You're not promised tomorrow. If you can't understand that what God's word says is true, and that in the end of this book, it tells about all the things that are happening today, maybe you should go, it's scary sometimes, but maybe you should go read the end of this book and see what it says.
Maybe you should go read about how things are going to be happening and how the world is going to change and form into a certain thing and see what's going on in society and around us and understand that it's never been closer than it is today for Jesus to come back. And I get it. I can use that statement and it always be true, like right now I'm the oldest I've ever been in my life. That's a true statement, right? Right? I'm getting closer to death than I've ever been, yes, because as we grow on, time goes, and I'm going to die one day, and you're going to die one day, and that's a part of the scripture. It says it's appointed for every man wants to die, and then judgment, right? It tells us that, and we can say that over and over and over if we want, but it's true, right? It's true. Jesus is coming back one day, and it's closer now than it's ever been. And if you look at the signs and what the word says has to happen, you'll see things coming to pass that you're like, oh, I'm scared of this happening. I'm scared. Most of the things that people are scared of happening is what the Bible says are going to happen right before Christ comes. So it can be a good and a bad thing, right? It can be a good and a bad. Well, no. It's a good thing. In your mind, it can be a good and a bad thing. Let me say it that way. Christ's coming, I know we all look for that. I know we all want that, but we need to understand the time to make the change is today. Why is it today? Because it's closer than it's ever been. Don't wait. How many people have waited and not ever gotten the opportunity or the chance? So what areas do we need to change today? The first one, most important one, I think, is it's time to get closer to God. Every one of us can do this. You say, well, I'm already close to him. That's awesome, but you can get closer. No matter how close you get to it, you have not reached it. You have not arrived yet. You're still on a destination. You're still on a journey. I'm still on a journey. No matter how much word I get inside of me, I understand how much more I don't understand it, right? I don't know. There's more stuff in here. And it's not that it's hard to understand. It's that I'm not there yet, right? I'm not ready for it yet. God's not going to give me stuff I'm not ready for. Right? What? My kids. I like to teach my kids stuff. They like to learn stuff. But how many of you know, I'm not teaching them how to drive a car right now. Because they're not ready for a car. They're 10 and 7. And they're not driving until they're 32. You know? Just kidding. They'll probably be there when they're 16. But it's one of those things. They're not ready for that yet, so I'm not going to give them that information. Why do I need to give them that information if they don't need it and they can't use it right now? You know what? They do drive bicycles. They do drive a golf cart, right? They do drive certain things. They do that. Why? And they taught them, hey, this is how you need to do it. You push this to go. You push this to stop. You have to be careful. You have to watch out. But how many of you know they still have to be told exactly what to do sometimes, because sometimes they get so excited they forget all about it, right? You know, sometimes we get so excited in life that we forget all about what we're really supposed to be doing with what he's given us. It's a true statement. It's a true statement. But the time is now to draw closer to God. James 4, chapter 8 says this, draw near to God. Notice, it didn't say God came to you first, so you come to him, right? It didn't say that. Now, how many of you know God did that, right? He sent his son. He's always with us. He's always there. But I can be in the same place and not be with the person I'm with. How many of you know about Walmart? You get a lot closer to people than you really want to get close to. That, like, I'm like, this is personal space. Can you back up? Especially now with the 6 foot thing. But how many of you know, like, hey, this is my space. I don't really know you. Can you go stand over there with your group? Right? This is my group right here. How many of you know we can be around somebody and not be with them? How many of you know God can be around us and we cannot draw near to him? And because of it, we miss what he wants to do in our lives. Verse 8 says, draw near to God. Then it says, and he will draw near to you. Then it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God wants to be in control. He wants us to draw near to him, close to him. He wants to have a relationship. That's the whole purpose for why he sent his son. That's the whole purpose for our ability to go out and reconcile others, help reconcile others to Christ, help bring others to see that they first of all need him and that he's available and that he's going to do all the changing in them. Amen? It's not my job to change them. It's God's. And he'll do it. But I will tell you this. He does need to be first in your life. He does need to be in control of your life. I love how the scripture says Lord and Savior. He's our Lord and Savior. He's not just our Savior. He's the one that's in control of our lives. Amen? He needs to be number one. You say, well, I haven't had that. I need God to be closer to me. I need to feel closer to Him. I need to understand what that means and what that looks like. As we've talked about over the last, I don't know how long, man, if you want something different, you have to do something different. If you want something that you've never had, then you need to do something that you've never done. If you keep doing the same things, the same habits, the same stuff, guess what? You're not going to change. There will not be a change. What would it look like if we put God first in our life? Think about what it would look like if God was in control of everything that I had. If I gave God everything in my life, what would my life look like? I'm going to answer it. It would be better than it is today. In every way, it would be better. He's like, well, I got issues. I got problems. You already told me that I'm going to have problems. You are, but you're not going to be in those problems by yourself. You're going to be able to go through those things, and those things are going to help shape us and make us who we need to be. What would it look like if I was faithful to church? What would it look like if I was faithful to a ministry at the church? What would it look like if I used the talents and abilities that God gave me in the local church? You say, well, is it important to come to church? We're not a church today. We're together. Let me explain this, man. Church is not just this building. It's what we call a church. The church is the people that God has put around us. The church is His children. We are the church, right? What would it look like if we used what we have, like I said earlier and before, to reach out to other people that we've been given access to in our lives? Do you know what? Not only our lives would be better, but their lives would be better. What? How can you say that? Because Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's amazing when you get to lead somebody to Christ for the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the 100th time. It's amazing that God would allow us to be a part of something that He wants to do in their lives, and we get to be there and be a part of it. What would it look like if we went all in with our life? Scripture says that eye hath not seen and ear hasn't heard of the things that God has for us, right? What our lives could be. How many of you are in a place that you never thought you would ever be because you've given your life to Christ? How many of you have seen things and other people see and say, how in the world are they doing that? How in the world is their life look like that? How in the world are they going through this situation like that? And it's only because God is good and He's a part of everything that we do. We need to draw closer to God. Number two, it's time that we got honest with a friend. You say, what does that have to do with anything? God never intended us to do life alone. We are better together. You're like, well, those are cliches. They're true. They can be cliche all you want. You can say they're cliche all you want. They're true. When we come together, we can accomplish more than we ever thought possible. Just coming together. Someone needs to walk through your issues with you. You don't need to be alone. That's why we've said, man, we've got opportunities for prayer. We've got opportunities for things. You can post it in the spot now. You can comment on the Facebook Live. You can send us an email at lakevictory.com. Hello@lakevictory.com. You can send us something there. You can text one of the elders, one of the people in the church, and you could text me on my cell phone, man. It's on the website. You can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of us. You don't need to be doing these things alone. We need to have somebody there with us. How many of you know you feel so much better when you've actually talked to somebody about something that you've got going on instead of bottling it up inside? James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power at his working. I'm going to talk about not being righteous in a minute, so I ain't going to go to that point right now, but that's a good point right there. But I'm going to tell you this. We need to confess our sins to someone. We need to be able to talk to someone about the issues that we have, the problems that we have, the trials that we face, the things that we've got going on in our minds without bottling it up, because if we do that, We hurt ourselves. I know what you're thinking. You know, Pastor, I thought I need to confess my sins to God. Yes, for forgiveness. But Scripture tells us here, what does it say? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It's when we come together. It's when we come together that we can start. Because you know what happens? When Nick tells me something that he's got going on in his life, and I tell him something that I've got going on in my life, we stand together, we pray for each other, we walk together with those things. But you know what ends up happening? Nick comes to me and says, Toby, how you doing with that? It's accountability, right? I have accountability. I have several accountability people that I have that help keep me where I need to be. And if I have issues or problems, I can go to them with no judgment, with no issues, with no problems. They don't look at me as any worse as a person. They stand beside me and say, how can we get through this together? How? Because we all have issues. We all have problems. And we need people that we can go through those things together with. Now, if you're that person that they're coming to with those things, man, keep your mouth shut and pray with them. Right? That was blunt. Let me. Beep, beep. Don't tell anyone else and pray with them. Right? Keep that to yourself. Don't share it with anyone. You know what? People come to me with stuff and I never even tell my wife anything about them. I never go to her and say, hey, they're having this issue. You need to pray for them. If it's something that needs to be prayed for, I'm like, hey, listen, so-and-so has an issue. Let's pray about it together. Well, what's the issue? Doesn't matter. God knows. They know. I know. Everybody doesn't need to know, right? We need to confess our sins. Because what happens then? Deliverance comes. We end up being set free from those things because, one, we have accountability. We know that God has forgiven us. And we have somebody that's standing beside us, helping us get through those things. Here's a quote, man, and I love it, man. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. Right? Yeah, how many of you guys watch those shows on TV? Those reality TV shows? They have one. Don't worry, they blur everything out. It's called Naked and Afraid. Have you guys ever seen that? So they put these people down, and they put a couple of them or four of them or however many of them together, and they got nothing. They don't even have clothes. They got to make clothes if they choose or they don't, whatever. But they go through, and they have to do all these things that they're doing. And how many of you know, once one person is off, the other person has a miserable time. They start to go crazy in their mind. They start to leave things out. That's one of the issues and the problems of being alone is we need people to confide in. We need people to help us. We need people to be there. That's why he said when he created Adam, man, hey, it's not good that man be alone. It's not good for us to go through life on our own. If we want to go farther in life, we need to do things together. It's time to get honest with a friend. Number three, it's time to get in tune with my purpose and my passion. You say, you've been talking a lot about purpose and passion lately. You know why? Because I see a lot of people with so many gifts that just aren't using them for whatever reason. That sit in the pews or the chairs or whatever you sit in, your armchair at home, whatever you're sitting in, sit there with these gifts and abilities and talents that they're not allowing to be used for God. They're not allowing them to be used. Like, well, I don't understand how to use them for God. That's why we come together as a group, as a community, so that we can say, hey, man, that talent you have, it's amazing. Because how many of you know other people see the talent that we have long before we see it in our lives usually? It usually happens. You say, I don't know what my purpose is. T.D. Jakes said this. I love this quote by him. It says, if you don't know your purpose, then follow your passion. Because your passion will lead you to your purpose. Why do you think God puts that interest in your life? Why do you think God allows you to have that drive, that thought towards that? Why? Because he's got a ministry that's for you and that passion. He's got something you can do with that to help reach others, to help give the good news to others, to help allow others to see God in you and glorify him because of it. You know what? I never ever thought I would be a kids pastor. But that was the first ministry God gave me, was like being a kid's pastor. You know what? I like being a kid's pastor. It's fun. It really is. If I didn't feel God had called me to be where I'm at right now, I would go back to being a kid's pastor, I think. I really would. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of reward in the fact that you get to instill God's word into young minds that don't know about him yet. You get to help them see that no matter how small they are, they can grow into what God created them to be. That the little gift that they think is insignificant is something amazing that can be used to reach so many people for Christ. But you know what? We're all wired differently. You put some people in kids' church, they're going to leave church and move to another state and not wired for kids, right? I'm not designed that way. What are you designed for? Because God designed each and every one of us for something. Galatians 6, 3 through 4 says this. It says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let us, each one, test his own work. And then reason, then the reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor." We need to see God has given us an ability. He's given us things to do. He's given us an ability and a talent that's not for me. It's not because I'm good. It's not because I'm anything special. It's not because that ability that you've given. He didn't give it to you because you deserved it. He gave it to you because he wants you to be able to do things with your life to reach other people. Amen? Don't just go through life. We need to grow through life. We need to change. A lot of people hate change, but change is healthy. Change is good. Change allows us to be new. You say, well, that's like, I already knew that, Sherlock, right? That kind of a thought process. But this is what happens. That means that we can change into whatever God has created us to be if we just allow him to do it. We need to let some old things go. We need to hold on to some new things. We need to live our lives for others. 2 Corinthians 10 says this. Says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I like how the Message Bible says that one, though. I'm going to read it to you real quick. It says, "He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does. The good work that he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing." I love that. He got it all ready for us. We need to do it. We need to step out. It's time that I get in tune with my purpose and with my passion. You say, I don't understand. Again, I don't like the place that I am. And I want to encourage you this. It's one more thought I want to give to you. Then we're going to stop. I can't go back and change my beginning. It's impossible. You can't go back and change your beginning. But I can start where I'm at and change the ending. I can start where I'm at today and say, this is the direction I don't need to be going. This is where God has called me to be. I need to stop, refocus, and follow him. Today is the day to do that. Now's the time to do that. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Aaron, I want you to come back up for me, man. Today, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to say, God, I give you my life from this moment on. Again, like I told you guys before, that today is our communion Sunday. The first Sunday of every month, we take communion, and we're going to do that. In just a minute, I want you to get some. You say, "Man, I don't have grape juice, and I don't have this, and I don't have that." And I'm gonna explain it to you, man. This is how I see it. What we use is symbols. That's what we believe.
here. There's places that believe that the bread turns into the body, and the wine or the grape juice or the whatever turns into the blood. And at Victory Church, we believe that it's a symbol, that it's us being obedient to His word and using what we have in our hands. So this morning, if you would get some elements to take communion with, we're going to take that. And I want to read this scripture to you as we get ready. I want to read this scripture to you. I'm getting there. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. It says, I have received from the Lord that what I also pass on to you. On the night He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and He broke it. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It says, in the same way, after supper, He also took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in this way, should eat the bread and drink from the cup. Remember, I told you in a minute I was going to talk about being righteous, because the prayer of a righteous availeth much, King James Version says. And today you're like, man, I'm not very righteous. I've got issues. I want you to think this thought. The night that Jesus did this, He was sitting with all 12 disciples. In the Gospels, you look, and after this point is where He says to Judas, what you have in your heart, go and do. Go do what you have put in your heart, right? So He knew Judas was going to betray Him. He knew the issues that all of the 12 disciples had, but He gave them an opportunity to be a part of what He was doing. He gave them all an opportunity . Some people differ on this thought, and it's okay, it's just my thought. I believe that if Judas would have turned to Him, he would have been saved. He would have been forgiven. I believe that God's forgiveness is for everybody. But are we going to allow our sins to hold us down and keep us back, or are we going to give them to God and accept His forgiveness? Aaron's going to play, and as you guys are getting your communion ready and he sings, man, I want us all to just look inside of our hearts and say, God, what do I have? As we preached a couple weeks, search me, oh God. Help me see those issues that I need to change. Help me see those things that I need to let go. Help me see you in my life. Go ahead, Aaron. Said Jesus took the bread and He gave thanks and He broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, as we hold this symbol of bread, Father God, as we hold it in our hands, we thank you for the healing that comes in our life. We thank you for the stripes that His body took. We accept it this morning, Father God. We accept it this morning. Would you take the bread? It says, in the same manner, after supper, He took the cup and said, this is the cup, the new covenant established in my blood. Do this and do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I'm so glad this morning that my sins can be washed away, that I can have newness of life, that I can be new, that the old can pass away, that a new creation come. I thank you for that. As we take this cup now, Father, we accept it. We thank you for it. Would you take the cup? Dear Heavenly Father, as we live our lives this week, allow our lives to point to you. Allow us to live a life that's worthy of the sacrifice of your Son. As we celebrate this week, Jesus being a part of our life, as we should every day of our lives, Father, I ask that you would help us point others to you. I ask that you'd help us with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the rest of the band comes back up and we get ready to sing one more song of worship before we go out into our lives, into what God has for us this week, I want to encourage you, share this message with others. Share the message that God has given you. Live the calling that he's given to each and every one of us to the ministry of reconciliation, man. Pointing people to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Aaron, let's sing.